All right, let's dive into this. We've got some sources today on Flores v. Lynch, Ninth Circuit, 2016. Now, you've probably heard all the talk about detaining migrant kids. And that's what this deep dive is all about, right? It's about figuring out this super important legal decision and how it affects things. We're going to go way back, like 1997, to a settlement agreement. And it's crazy how relevant that old agreement still is today.
Yeah.
We got some good stuff to work with, too. A podcast that lays out the case, then a detailed case brief, and a standard one.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to pull out the really important points here. How does this, like, decades-old settlement actually impact how we treat migrant children?
Right.
What were the legal arguments, and why did the court treat children and parents so differently? This is where things get really interesting.
Okay, so what's really fascinating to me is how much impact this 1997 settlement agreement still has on immigration policy.
Yeah.
To really get Flores v. Lynch, you got to start with the Flores settlement itself. And that came out of this class action lawsuit about how badly minors were being treated in immigration custody.
Okay, so back in 97, the government agreed to some pretty big things, right?
Yeah.
Like, our sources say they basically had to release these kids unless there was a really good reason not to.
Right.
And if they couldn't release them right away, they had to put them in licensed places, you know, not like prisons.
Exactly.
And the top priority was getting them back to their parents or guardians as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give us a quick picture of what things were like for these detained kids back in the 90s before this lawsuit? Like, what were the main problems they were trying to fix?
That's a really good question. So the lawsuit painted a pretty grim picture. There were reports of kids not getting proper education, not getting the medical care they needed.
Oh, wow.
And they were being held in places that weren't meant for children.
No.
Sometimes even with adults they didn't know. The whole point of the lawsuit was to set some basic standards for how to treat these kids. To say, hey, look, these are vulnerable kids. We need to prioritize releasing them to their families or finding other suitable places for them.
Right.
You know, not just locking them up.
Yeah, that context makes it really clear why this settlement was so important.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward to 2014. Our sources mention this huge increase in families coming from Central America.
Right.
And that really put a strain on the whole Flores framework.
Mm-hmm.
The government, trying to deal with this influx, started opening these family detention centers.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. A lot of those centers didn't meet the requirements from the Flores settlement.
Exactly, like the licensing and the non-secure part, that's where the problem started.
Right.
So the government's argument basically was that the Flores settlement only applied to kids who came to the U.S. without their parents.
Okay.
You know, what they call unaccompanied minors. They were saying, if a kid's with a parent, the settlement doesn't automatically apply.
That's a really important distinction they were trying to make there. But then, in 2015, the people who originally brought the Flores case went back to court.
Mm-hmm.
They argued that the settlement protected all minors in immigration detention, no matter if their parents were there or not.
Right.
And the district court agreed with them. But they didn't stop there.
No, they didn't.
They went even further and ordered the government to release the parents, too, as long as they weren't, you know, a flight risk or something.
That's right, as long as they met certain conditions.
So that brings us to the Ninth Circuit reviewing all of this in Flores v. Lynch in 2016.
Yeah, big case.
The court had to answer two really big questions. First, did this almost 20-year-old settlement apply to all kids in immigration detention, whether they came alone or with family?
Mm-hmm.
And second, did it also mean the parents had to be released, like the district court said?
Exactly.
So the Ninth Circuit tackled these head on.
They did.
And their answer to the first question about whether it applied to all minors was a resounding yes. They really focused on the actual text of the settlement. So when they did this textual analysis, what were the specific parts they zeroed in on to reach that decision?
Well, the key phrase they looked at was all minors. Right. That's it. Simple as that. The Ninth Circuit was very clear that the settlement was totally unambiguous on this point.
Yeah.
Didn't matter if the minor was accompanied or unaccompanied. The settlement just said all minors in the custody of U.S. immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And they shot down the government's argument that it was only meant for unaccompanied kids.
Okay.
Said there was nothing in the text to support that. Like, one of your sources quotes the court directly. The settlement unambiguously applies to both accompanied and unaccompanied minors. Pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah.
And it really shows how important the exact wording of these legal agreements can be.
Right.
They can have these huge, long-lasting effects even decades later.
Absolutely. So the Ninth Circuit backed up the district court's decision. They said the Flores settlement protections, the presumption of release, the requirement for licensed, non-secure facilities, those applied to all children held by immigration.
Yes.
It didn't matter why they were there or who they were with.
Right, right.
But then they went a different way on releasing the parents.
They did.
This is where the whole difference between kids' rights and adults' rights becomes really crucial.
Absolutely.
So why did the Ninth Circuit say no to automatically releasing the parents?
Well, they made it clear that the Flores settlement was all about how to treat kids.
Yeah.
That was its focus. The parents weren't even part of the original lawsuit back in the 90s.
Right, right.
So the agreement doesn't say anything specific about detaining or releasing adults.
That makes sense. I mean, the lawsuit was about protecting the kids.
Yeah.
But the district court had said that since the settlement wanted kids released to their parents, that basically meant the parents had to be free too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was implied. What did the Ninth Circuit have to say about that?
Oh, they disagreed big time.
Really?
They drew a really important distinction here. Saying you prefer to release a kid to a parent is not the same as saying you have to release the parent.
Oh, I see.
The settlement says if there's a parent, they should be the first choice for releasing the kid to.
Okay.
But it doesn't say the government has to release the parent in the first place.
Right, right.
One of your sources sums it up well. The fact that the settlement grants class members a right to preferential release to a parent over others does not mean that the government must also make a parent available. It simply means that, if available, a parent is the first choice.
So it sounds like the Ninth Circuit thought the district court had gone too far.
Yeah.
Like they created new rights for the parents that weren't actually in the original settlement.
Exactly. They were really emphasizing that you have to stick to what a class action settlement actually says.
Yeah.
Those rights usually only apply to the people who were specifically part of the case.
Right.
And since the parents weren't part of the Flores case, the settlement didn't give them any automatic right to be released. Now, I do remember the sources mentioning something about the government saying newer laws had basically overridden the Flores settlement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What was that all about?
That's important to clear up. So the government argued that laws passed after 1997, specifically the Homeland Security Act of 2002 and the TVPRA, which dealt with national security and protecting trafficking victims, generally had changed the legal situation so much that the Flores settlement didn't really apply anymore.
Okay, and did the Ninth Circuit buy that? Did they agree that these newer laws were more important?
Nope, they weren't convinced at all. They said when Congress passed those later laws, they knew all about the Flores settlement. They knew exactly what it said about detaining migrant children.
Okay.
But even knowing that, the court said Congress basically chose to keep those protections for kids in place.
Right.
Maybe even make them stronger. So the Ninth Circuit decided those newer laws didn't cancel out or replace the Flores settlement.
So what does all this mean for you, the listener? Understanding Flores v. Lynch gives you really important context for all the debates we're having now about immigration and what rights migrant families have.
Yeah.
You've learned how important an old settlement agreement can be and how courts look at those documents really carefully, focusing on what the actual text says.
Right.
This case shows us the specific protections kids have in detention and also how those protections don't necessarily extend to the adults with them.
Yeah.
It also shows us the tension that sometimes exists between what the government wants to do and what the law actually allows.
Mm-hmm.
What's amazing is how a class action lawsuit that was supposed to be about improving conditions for detained kids ended up impacting how we handle family detention across the whole country.
Yeah.
So this brings up a big question for you to think about. Given all this complexity and the ongoing debate, how might future legal challenges or new laws change how we treat migrant children and families at the border?
That's a great question for everyone to consider.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining me on this deep dive. It's been really insightful.
It's been great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Till next time.